I probably need my head examined for taking on our subject today, understanding the tension between God's sovereignty and our free will. The greatest spiritual minds since the beginning of time have struggled to understand and explain this concept. How can it be true that we have a free will, but God is still sovereign? However, in order to begin to understand why we experience so many hard and painful things in this life, we must go here. I can't promise I will perfectly satisfy every nuance of this, but I will gladly share what I have come to understand thus far, having traveled with the Lord now for 50 years. The reason I choose not to avoid the topic of free will and skirt these difficult concepts is because there is no other stumbling block I hear more from people than this one. Where was God when these bad things happened in my life? If He loves me so much, why did this happen? This is a showstopper for so many people. Before I get into this, I want to share the one thing I can say today with 100% certainty. All of God's Word is true. God and His Word are reliable and trustworthy. So if there's something I don't yet understand, it's because I lack insight. It's because my knowledge and discernment are still coming along, not because God isn't good. The more time I spend with God, the more I understand. The more I read Scripture, the more I understand. That probably doesn't surprise you at all, but this might. It isn't enough just to spend time with God daily, reading the Bible, because the real understanding comes in the application. It's in the walking out of Scripture in my own life that I really begin to see and know what He's talking about. Oswald Chambers said in his Bible Training Course monthly journal, "Never be surprised if there are whole areas of thinking that are not clear. They never will be until you obey." There is a strong connection between obedience and vision. The more we obey, the more we see. As long as we judge God and doubt Him, we won't come to understand anything. John 7:17 in the NIV says something similar. "Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." God reveals truth to us as we act on what He's already shown us. Isaiah 43:10-12 in the NIV says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I, and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God." God clearly says He is the one and only God who has existed from the beginning and that He holds all power. And in countless places in Scripture, He says that He loves us. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." With simply those two facts, it might be easy to come up with these false ideas. Okay, so He's God and is powerful. He could have helped, but He chose not to, so that means He's mean and uncaring. Or this one, so He says He loves me, but He lets me suffer, so He's a liar. Or maybe this one, so He's loving and powerful, but my life's in the toilet, so I must not be worthy or qualify for His love. These are typical false beliefs we conclude when we hit another painful bump in our road. His promises don't apply to me, or He's a liar, or He doesn't care. Let's hit the pause button there and begin to consider the other half of our topic, free will. The Apostle Paul certainly struggled with free will. In Romans 7:18-19, he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how I perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." That is a good description of the battle that exists in our will. We know what's right, but we have a hard time acting on that because there still remains a part of us that does not want to do what is right. Within us is a pull toward the things of this world, as 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Lust and pride, these cause us so much pain and suffering and lead us down bad roads. So we have a free will, the ability to think, say, or do what we want. But in this world are powerful forces drawing us to the wrong things. That's why following God is a choice, a hard choice. It's much easier to go our own way than it is to follow God. Believing God is a choice. Following God is a choice. For the person who doesn't know God, or who does know Him and chooses to reject Him, they don't have a battle. There's no contest. They will follow the world. Only the person who knows God and seeks to follow Him will fight this battle. Every Christ follower will experience both victories and defeats, because that's the nature of being human and seeking God in this world. So if Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, follow me, and I will give you eternal life." And if He dies on the cross, defeats death, and lives again, and we reject this, reject Jesus, reject His words, and die without salvation, who is responsible? Is God responsible for that decision? A decision that will not end well, that means experiencing hell and missing heaven? Or is the person choosing that responsible? So if God tells us to love each other as we love ourselves, and if He says we should be kind to each other, and someone chooses to steal, murder, rape, and devastate people's lives, who is responsible? Is God responsible for that decision? Or is the person choosing that responsible? Of course God is not responsible. He can never be responsible for something we choose. Just like we aren't responsible for the choices other people make. Only the one making the choice can be responsible. Okay, so that is the easier part. What about the part about God being the sovereign authority over everyone, almighty, able to part the sea? Okay, so He's not responsible, but He could have stopped my perpetrator. He could have changed the outcome. He could have prevented this painful thing I went through. Maybe He's not responsible for what my offender did, but He could have helped, and He didn't. So if we want to go with that line of judgment, here is where it ends up. It's right to think God can change anything, stop anything, create any possible income. But if He usurps man's free will and prevents every travesty, tragedy, and traumatic event, we are reduced to puppets, controlled by God to play out a perfect world without sin and pain. Is that what you want? To be a puppet? Two things here. First, He has already created that perfect world without sin and pain. Guess what it's called? Heaven. If we choose God, choose to believe He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, we get to go there. We get heaven. We get perfection. He provided perfection and a way to get there. But that's not this world. In this world, He gave us free will so we would have an opportunity to choose Him and be able to enjoy eternity with Him in perfection. So if He is to prevent pain and suffering here, He is to prevent all pain and suffering, not just the biggies, but every stubbed toe, every time we make a bad decision, every time we think a thought we shouldn't think, every choice we make, and not just for the evil monsters of this world, for every person. And guess what? We cease to be human beings at that point. God's plan is for us to find life and fellowship with Him, a good life, eternal life. He's provided for everything. Some of that provision does come here in this part of our life, and all of it comes in the next part of life, in heaven. Without free will, we can't choose God. And if we can't choose God, we can't be saved. So be careful where you go in your judgment. Be careful about judging God. Be careful about assuming He overlooked some important details. And be very careful about thinking He has overlooked you in His plan. He lets us live our lives and go whatever way we choose. Sometimes people use that option for good and sometimes for evil. And guess what? We do both. None of us are innocent. All of us are the offender on someone else's list. We've hurt people. We've been selfish and prideful and made choices that hurt the lives of others. God didn't stop us either. He has provided a way out of pain and suffering, provided a way that anyone can receive redemption and restoration. He can take the pain and heal our minds and hearts and give us joy and happiness again. He has thought of everything. He told us everything. He warned us. He encouraged us. He instructed us. He guided us. He led us. It's all in His Word. How serious have you been about scouring it for every morsel of help He has there for you? Who is responsible? Is it not us? Ezekiel 18:25 says, "Yet you say the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair and your ways which are not fair?" Be careful who you judge. So we've established these things. God is the Almighty Sovereign One holding all power and wisdom. God loves us. He's given each of us a free will, and free will is good because it gives us the opportunity to choose Jesus and receive eternal life. We all use our will for good and evil purposes. The one making the evil choice is responsible, not God. So why do bad things happen? Because people make evil, bad, selfish choices that bring hurt to our hearts and minds. God never does anything that's evil, bad, or selfish. Blame rests not with God, but with the one committing the prideful choice. So where does that leave us? How then does God's power help us? How does His love show up? Well, first of all, God never stops trying to reach us with His message of truth and salvation. He reaches out to everyone, but only some respond and accept Him. That's why we should pray. Prayer's powerful. We should pray for our offenders and those perpetrating evil that God will get a hold of their hearts. God does prevent some heartache and tragedy, but not all. Sometimes we do see His grace sparing us ultimate sorrow. When I went through my divorce, I asked God for two things. Please let me stay in the town where I was living, and please let me keep my house. I lost both. That was a great place for a false belief to creep in and cause me to doubt God's power and His love for me. Yet it wasn't long before I saw the reason. He had a wonderful life, ministry, and new relationship for me, all waiting in Colorado Springs. I'm glad my prayer wasn't answered according to my wisdom. but sometimes he does allow pain. I've experienced multiple suicides in my family, including my father, stepdaughter, and grandson. Those events were horrendous. I'm certainly not wise enough to give you a formula why some grief is spared and some isn't. This is where I must fall back on what I know to help me with what I don't know. I may not know why he allowed a sorrow in my life, but I do know he is good, loving, and kind, and will give me everything I need to survive, heal, and find victory in it. He's done it hundreds of times now, and I do know one reason why some of our painful events occur, because they might draw us to him. They can cause us to look up and look for God. We don't tend to do that as much when we're comfortable. Even in the worst painful events, God is always working to bring good, to bring redemption. He never misses an opportunity. It was not God's will my stepdaughter took her life at 19. He was there in her moment of crisis, begging her to stop. When she didn't listen to him, it broke his heart, as it did ours. Don't ever think God doesn't care. He sacrificed his only son for you. But at her funeral, 6 people accepted Christ. He used the tragedy to save 6 people who would have otherwise been destined to hell. God brought life from death. One last thought on this subject. And this is the thing most people never find out, because they get mad at God and walk away from him. But God has provided a powerful way for any and every wound to be healed to the point it no longer defines our life and holds us back. Through his biblical process, he has provided a way for our mental torment to end, for our bleeding heart to become whole and once again beat strong, for our faith to find a firm foundation. We can use our free will to choose healing, to do what God says will restore our hearts and minds. Or we can use our free will to remain angry and bitter. Who's responsible for that choice? I describe this healing process in other podcasts, which you can listen to for more teaching on this. This is also what the Healing Journey Bible Study is all about. God won't prevent every painful event, but he will heal all painful events if we will just trust him and go his way. All scripture is from the New King James Version, unless stated otherwise.
Thank you for listening to Cindy Sherwood's podcast. Visit us on the web at hishealinglight.org to learn more about our ministry. Please consider rating us on iTunes, Spotify, or your other favorite music app. God's best to you today.